Okay, so we are now very happy to be joined today by Kelly Whitworth, who is actually a regular presenter on 3CR for a number of different programs. And we have Kelly on today representing the Homeless Persons Union to have a bit of discussion about and a bit of a report on the kind of attacks on the homeless community that have been carried out by the City of Melbourne Council. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Jacob.
So, Mary, you want to go ask the first question?
Sure. Good morning, Kelly. It's Mary here. How are you?
I'm well, Mary.
Great. Can you tell us about the attacks on homeless people by the City of Melbourne, please?
There's a bit of an echo on this line. I don't know if that can be helped, but so we know that the community safety officers, which are now an in-house employed program by the City of Melbourne since October last year, we know anecdotally from the peers that we're speaking to that they're constantly moving people on from sitting and leaning against buildings in the CBD and confiscating their personal possessions. That's the kind of attacks that are happening.
Okay. Can you also tell us more about these so-called safety officers and the move-on laws that you just referred to?
So as I just mentioned, they've been employed by the City of Melbourne since October last year. There's 11 of them, and they replaced what council were doing previously for about a year, which were contracting a firm called Crownland Security. And they initially came into a place to accompany local law officers who were going around doing their business of moving people on and taking their belongings. And so we were really fighting hard about those people, and the council then, I think, realised they needed to control the situation a bit more. So they got this in-house team of community safety officers who they reckon they employed to address concerns about safety in the CBD. But no one's really sure what that means and whose safety they're talking about. We haven't seen any data about that. Now we've been fighting really hard since April 11th because a former community safety officer, Joel Owen, got some media attention from The Age and I think Channel 7, claiming that he was fired from his position because he shoved someone in the CBD. But he claims he was only following his orders. That's the training he'd received as a CEO. So that's when we started campaigning really hard about the CSOs, and that's been going since April 11th. And now,
Transfer.
I am, yeah. I think I was just mentioning that the City of Melbourne's now proposing, despite all the scrutiny that's been put on the program and everything that we've revealed, they're seeking to double the number of officers on the ground. So they're proposing to lift officer size from 11 to 22 of these people roaming around the city at a cost of $3.75 million. So they've just released the budget yesterday evening, and that was after a period of about a 3 or 4 week public feedback window. And they've made absolutely no changes to their dreams to expand this program. So we'll be going back to the town hall next Tuesday to the council meeting to watch them usher in this beefed up program.
So I just want to follow up with a bit of another question, Kelly. I've heard that some of these programs around community safety officers have also been implemented in or have been proposed in other councils. Am I correct in saying these have also been explored in the City of Maribyrnong and also the City of Port Phillip?
Well, I can't speak to any great detail about what's happening with our friends in the City of Maribyrnong, in the Footscray Mall, and the City of Port Phillip, but I can speak briefly. I'm not an expert at all, but I know that in the Footscray Mall, the council had employed private security guards as well. And there's a great grassroots community group called Footscray Community Response who have been monitoring that, and they conducted an independent evaluation of that program, which found that the officers were intimidating people. There were some accounts of violence being used, and so the Maribyrnong Council kind of pivoted away from that and said it was going to go down a civic-led response as opposed to the other security guard direction. But now we've learned from our friends at Footscray Community Response that they're just doubling the number of PSOs around the train station. And as recently as yesterday, our friends over there witnessed council workers coming and collecting people's bedding and their personal items from the mall and loading it into utes and things like that. Also in the city of Port Phillip, just a couple of weeks ago, the majority of councillors voted to amend one of their local bylaws, which will actually put into law that officers can remove people's belongings in that municipality as well. So it's really dark days across our inner Melbourne councils at the moment with this criminalisation of homelessness agenda that they're all on, seemingly quite hysterical about public safety, but we're not sure whose safety they're talking about, because certainly the most vulnerable members of the community are not safe from our own councils, and are often not safe from members of the house community who come and attack them. And we know that one fella in St Kilda was recently set on fire.
Oh, my God.
So really tough times, but we're fighting really hard. We're fighting back really hard.
Oh, yeah, I hope so. That just sounds horrific. And, of course, especially homeless women, but not only, would seek to sleep somewhere where they feel safe. So I can imagine that would be in city areas. But I was going to also ask, so is it legal for councils to take people's belongings? And what's the response been from the local community?
Well, it's legal, Mary, in the sense that it's part of the City of Melbourne's homelessness protocol, which they ushered in 2017. And that was at a time, Jacob, you might remember, when there was a mayor called Robert Doyle in the House at the time. And he tried to make it illegal back in 2017 for people to be sleeping in the CBD. And the Homeless Persons Union was around at the time, and we worked with others to fight really hard against that. And we were lucky to prevent that from happening. But the trade-off was that they said, OK, we'll have to restrict what people can carry. So it's become colloquially known as a two bags, one swag policy. And it's just obscene, because in that whole time, like, it's been 9 years since then, and there's been absolutely no moves to provide people with any kind of storage facility, just so people could have some basic decency and not have to lug all their stuff around 24/7. Like, what are they really expecting people to do? Like, homelessness is a fact, and people will have belongings and they need something to sleep on. So it is law, Mary, in the sense it's part of their homelessness protocol. We're just starting to really raise more awareness about that now, and we'll continue fighting really hard on that over the next little while to see some movement there, because that's got to stop.
Yeah, and homelessness, of course, is growing.
That's right.
Mm. So what's the response from the local community?
Do you mean like people that are experiencing homelessness?
Them, but also people that live in the council areas but aren't homeless.
What's their response to the removal of belongings?
To the move on laws as well, and the safety officers, their role and so forth.
Well, do you mean in the city of Melbourne or city of Port Phillip? Because there's quite a difference there.
City of Melbourne, because obviously that's what we've been talking about from the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we haven't had, like, the local residents of the City of Melbourne have not been vocal. We wouldn't really know where they stand. So that's really hard for me to answer that question, I would say, about the local 3,000 residents. I wouldn't know about that. That's not where our supporter base is.
Yeah. I guess probably the question we're probably really asking is, can you tell us a bit about the community campaign that Homeless Persons Union has really been sort of publicising against some of this stuff?
Yeah, well, I just looked up the latest figures, and we're not promoting it anymore, but 938 separate individuals have signed our most recent petition to get rid of the CSO program. That's a hell of a lot of people. Our support is growing and growing on Instagram. I think we've got 500 new people supporting us in the last 4 weeks, which is fabulous. Other people are getting in touch from all different sections of the community wanting to volunteer for the union or support however they can. And we've just recently had a great video series where we've partnered with a number of community legal centres across Melbourne on some great advocacy videos about this issue. They're also really concerned. So the supporter base is growing and growing, and we're really pleased about that. We want to see that grow even more. But really, we want people to get out next Tuesday, Jacob, at like 5:30 p.m. at the Melbourne Town Hall. We want people to be there with us at the council meeting and watch these people speak to their decision to increase this program. There's just no validity for it at all. It's actually causing harm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think we're running out of time now. But Kelly, I think this has been a very good interview and very informative about, because I think, you know, I think it is quite outrageous that, you know, we're in a housing crisis and, you know, homelessness is actually increasing. And of course, what we're actually seeing is we're seeing a punitive kind of response to the issue of homelessness. And of course, we're also, this is a common issue, you know, happening around all around the Western world, especially in the United States, where there has been homeless encampments that have been actually crushed by, you know, state governments and so on. And I think, you know, the fact it is a very common trend that local councils, in the interest of kind of protecting, you know, business interests and, you know, will kind of implement these sort of attacks on the homeless. And so I think, yeah, it's very important we stand in solidarity with people with lived experience of with homelessness and actually oppose these punitive laws that are being implemented.
Yeah, spot on, Jacob. It's not just homelessness, as you say. It's actually the criminalisation of homelessness that we're really concerned about. We really want to turn the tide on this in our city because the streets belong to everybody and everybody's entitled to use public space. So if we don't put a stop to this, things are just going to get worse, and we have to think about what kind of city do we want to live in. And we don't want these kind of people roaming around our city, moving the most vulnerable people on from our public spaces. It's just not on.
And that's a great note to end on, Kelly. And yes, thank you again for being on our program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye-bye.